Hello and welcome, everybody. Tonight is a special show. It's part of my series, The Best of Tantra Cafe. I've chosen to rebroadcast my show on Asperger's Autism. It's about how Tantra helps people who have Asperger's Autism. After my show, people wrote to me letting me know how helpful they found it, and it's one of my favorite topics because Tantra really does help people with Asperger's. So please enjoy. Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to another segment of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I am excited to be with you today. One of my most exciting topics will be covered today. Before I let you know about the topic, I want to let you know how you can get in touch with me anytime to talk to me about any of the shows, ask me any questions, or suggest shows that you'd like to hear on Tantra Cafe. You can write to me at laurie@tantracafe.com, or you can follow me on Twitter or Facebook. I would love to hear from you. And lately, actually, I have been hearing from some of you. Some people that I've met in those venues, especially on Facebook, have called me and let me know how wonderful the show is. So thank you so much to anyone listening, and that's how you can get in touch with me anytime. Or you can go to my main website, butterflyworkshops.com. Well, my topic today is so exciting. I cannot tell you how much I've wanted to talk about this, and I haven't known how to talk about this, and you may not either, so that's why this topic is enlightening. We're going to be talking about Asperger's syndrome, which is a neurological something that happens in the brain. Of course, we're going to hear more about what the something is that happens in the brain and causes people to have a different syncopation with things that happen in life. It's hard for people with Asperger's to connect. They always seem a little bit out of sync with what's happening. If a joke is told, they may laugh after the joke. When it's time to take part in a conversation, it's sometimes difficult for people with Asperger's to know exactly what to say, and so they feel isolated and sometimes very stuck. And they may not know what it is, and for years, people may have thought this is some kind of a psychological thing, but it turns out it's a neurological thing, and we're going to really hear about it. Why I'm so excited about it is not only that I've known about Asperger's syndrome as a result of being a Tantra teacher, but I've seen how Tantra has affected various people around me who I consider to have Asperger's syndrome, whether they know it or not. My guest today knows something about it. He struggled with Asperger's and didn't know it. It was undiagnosed. He recently told me that he had it. And I said, oh, finally I can have a conversation with someone so they could really let us know what it's about and how Tantra has affected him and this syndrome. So I'm excited. It's a very hot topic and it's something that affects more people than we know. And Tantra could have a little something to do about it. Tantra may have a tremendous effect towards it. So that's what we're talking about today. My guest is Shivananda Deva. He is an ITT project manager. He's an acting teacher, and he's also a leader of transformational seminars. In addition, he's a photographer, and he's also a musician. And he and I have known each other for years and years. So welcome to the show. Thank you for being with me today, talking about this great topic.
Oh, my pleasure. It's so good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it is. It's been a few years since we've been out of communication, and you telling me about this just got me so excited. So I want to, first of all, since I've mentioned Asperger's syndrome, and we've talked about it a little bit, can you shed some light on what exactly this is and what just exactly when you were diagnosed?
Well, I personally was just diagnosed very recently. It's something that has really only come to the public attention in the last 15 years or so. And it's even as we speak, it's going through a little bit of a change. The new DSM manual that psychologists use is apparently going to switch to a different term, which is called autism spectrum disorder. But I think most people are familiar with the term Asperger's, so we'll use that one today. It first really came to my attention just over a year ago, and in a very unusual circumstance. I was at my mother's funeral, and the pastor who was giving the funeral address mentioned that my mother was someone who had Asperger's syndrome. And after the service, I went to my brothers and said, "What's this all about? Tell me more." And they said, yes, she had actually been diagnosed about 9 years previously by a national expert, and that was so. And I didn't think a lot about it. You know, I did a little reading, but it certainly explained some things about my mother's behavior. My mother and I always had a challenging relationship. She was very distant. She was not easy for her to express anything to me except criticism. So that sort of was the character of our relationship. And she was also, the world would say she was eccentric because she lived in a beautiful house, but it was always filled with clutter. Stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks and stacks of stuff. And she was a food hoarder.
Well, I got to say something to you, though, here, because a lot of people would say that their parents were exactly like that. Their parents only had negative things to say about them. And lots of people I know, parents are hoarders. Actually, I even have friends who they buried their mother with a whole bunch of stuff because they didn't know what to do with it. So they put it in the coffin.
In my mother's case, that would have had to have been, you know, about 27 boxes of yellow cake mix. But so that was chapter one. Actually, one of my brothers sent me a book about it, and characteristically, I proceeded to lose the book, and you know, haven't found it since. So I haven't read that book that he sent me. But then the second thing came. So I have my own piles. But, you know, it gave me a little something to think about, but what really drove it home was, literally just a couple of months ago, I found out that my grandson had been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome, clinically diagnosed. You know, and he's a young teenager and, you know, was diagnosed, as a result of having some difficulties in school. And I remember having some difficulties in school.
Right.
And
so tell me what the characteristics are. I mean, like you said your mother was on the negative side. I don't really experience you on the negative side. So what would you say the characteristics were for you? And what are some that may overlap with your grandson?
Okay. Well, I think that the fact that they're moving to this idea of a spectrum disorder is part of it, because it can manifest in many different ways in different people. And how it manifested for me was that I had very high intelligence.
Right.
I had a lot of obvious talents in a lot of areas. I was a very precocious, verbally, skipped a grade when I was in grammar school, but I was always kind of an outsider socially. I wasn't able to connect well. Other kids didn't like to play with me. And I actually exhibited one of the textbook case examples of one of the ways this can manifest, is in the third grade, I would blurt out in class and interrupt my teacher and correct something that she had just said. You know, I would.
In third grade, you did this?
Yeah. And I would, it's something that is known within this area as the little professor syndrome, where I would literally say, no, not Istanbul, it was Constantinople. And then the other kids would all laugh. The teacher would be embarrassed. And
right.
If to check, they'd find out that I was right.
Yeah, of course you were.
Yeah, so I had a precocious talent for remembering all kinds of trivia, and I read voraciously, so I knew a lot of stuff.
Now, I want to ask you something. This is how it occurs to me, so I want to try and, because I do know other people with Asperger's, and they might or might not have been diagnosed, but this is how the occurring for me, like dealing with people who I mm-hmm. feel have what I understand to be Asperger's. And so I try to imagine what it's like for me. I don't know if as a kid you ever had a sister or an occasion to play jump rope, like to jump in when somebody was spinning and already jumping. Is that something that you ever did? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, and I remember watching girls do that, and I can't recall whether I did that or not, but it always looked like something I wouldn't be able to do.
You're always looking for the in, like when you're playing double, when you're jumping double, two people are turning the rope, and you're trying to jump in. And mm-hmm. I imagine it's hard sometimes for someone to catch that beat and jump in. And that's what I liken to Asperger's, to some people mm-hmm. that I know. They just have the timing is so off, like they might make a remark that either is a non sequitur, it doesn't have anything to do with what's just happening, or they make a remark, but the remark comes so much later, or the laughter of the joke comes so much later that they miss the beat to jump in to the turning jump rope. Is that clear? Does that feel what it's like?
Yeah, and that kind of social ineptness is one of the common hallmarks of people with Asperger's. And, you know, there are people who have been very successful with Asperger's. I mean, Bill Gates is known to be Aspergian. And
say that again. What's the word? Aspergian?
Yeah. Aspergian. Aspergian, yeah.
Aspergian.
I don't know if that's a real word, but it should be.
Yeah, it's great.
And he was notably, you know, a very, very awkward and inept socially when he was younger. And the problem is that this is a genetic disorder. It is a neurological slight, I'm not going to say miswiring, let's just say different wiring.
Different wiring, yeah, different.
It's different wiring, and it lends itself to certain kinds of abilities that not everybody has, but in social circumstances, it means that you're literally a little off the beat, and sometimes it can be even, you know, not just a matter of somebody tells a joke, you get it 30 seconds later, it could be literally somebody tells something terrible that just happened, some tragedy, some calamity, and you respond by laughing.
I see.
Why?
I see what you mean.
We're
just going to stop here for a second. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I am talking today with Shivananda Deva, who is, what he does for a living is ITT work. He's a project manager in information technology. And he's somebody here today discussing the Asperger's syndrome or the Asperger's spectrum, which they're called interchangeably. And I'm asking him questions about it because he's not only defining, he's just defined some of it for us. We're going to hear a little bit more about its definition. And then we're going to connect it to Tantra because my whole experience with it has come through the tantric world, and it's amazing what can happen with people who have Asperger's who study Tantra. So please stay tuned. When we come back, we'll hear much more about this.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe. This is Tantra Cafe, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and thanks for staying with us. My guest today is Shivananda Deva, and he's talking about his recent finding out that he has Asperger's and how it was for him growing up and what it's meant in his life. And we're just getting our teeth into defining this thing. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that now, and then we'll connect it to Tantra. So you were saying before that somebody in the last segment, you said somebody could tell you tragic news and that somebody with Asperger's could give the completely inappropriate response.
Yeah, exactly. And without knowing their internal dialogue, you wouldn't know that what they were reacting to was a very rapid fire. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, I'm glad it didn't happen to me. Oh, I'm safe. I'm okay. And the response to that is to laugh.
You know, I want to tell you something. I was teaching a class, oh, I don't know, in the 90s sometime, late 90s, maybe 2000. And I was teaching a leadership course. And I told everybody when they were going on break, you know, we were going to have like a 10-minute break. And I said on the break, I don't want you. Oh, I didn't want anybody to eat on this break. Like, I didn't want this to be like a snack break. And I said, oh, we're going to have a 10 minutes break. Please go to the bathroom if you need to go to the bathroom and drink water and come back. Please don't eat anything. No eating anything. And a person raised their hand and said, will we be punished? And I said, what? And this person said, will we be punished?
Yeah.
And I said, no, no. There's no punishment. And I was so taken aback. And that was my first experience with somebody in what we're talking about right now, who I consider to have Asperger's. My first experience of somebody like giving me a response that was so literal and so over the top, which is just what you just said. Oh, thank goodness that didn't happen to me. Thank goodness I'm still alive. I'm happy. Ha ha ha. You know, will we be punished? I said, no, my course isn't about punishment. I'm just like, it's very scary, freaky for me. And then I learned, see, I thought it was psychology. My thing was I looked at everything through a psychology paradigm. And then I met somebody in Philadelphia, a woman named Tina Catarino, who's a tremendous expert on neurology. And she explained all this neurological stuff to me. And all these people in my life, so many people, started to make more sense to me than I had ever imagined before, ever. And then I come to find out about you, you know. And thank you, by the way, because You're the first person that's ever discussed this with me openly.
Yeah, and we just got into it recently, and we've known each other a long time. But
right.
But when you think about it, just when we were chatting before the show, it kind of explains a couple of unusual experiences that we had together.
It does. It really, really does. It's
And here's the thing. I would say that the general public shares your initial view that this was psychological, that this was a, you know, personality disorder maybe, that this was, in worse, much of the world really treats it like you're just a goof off. You could manage your life differently if you just had the willpower to stop, you know, being such a, you know, such a wimp about
or stop
the
cutting
things
up
that everybody
or,
takes.
Or something.
Yeah. Whereas, I mean, here's an interesting thing. One of the foremost experts on autism and Asperger's syndrome and author of The Unwritten Rules of Social Relationship is Dr. Temple Grandin. And she's autistic herself. She's a PhD. She's internationally known as a cow whisperer. She really understands cow psychology. And one of the things that she says about any of the autism-related syndromes is that the reason that autistic people seem to get better over life is because they learn. And the challenge with Asperger's, the central challenge, is that I don't have the same wiring to understand social interactions than most people do. And so I misinterpret things. Sometimes I overread. You know, I'll have...
Well, you talked about that in a love affair. You talked to me about that in a love affair that you had for a long time, that you misread the symbols. You misread the signals, sorry. And, and you made things mean different things than what was actually being presented to you, no?
Exactly. And frankly, when it was all over, people were like, well, what did you expect? You know, the handwriting was on the wall, and it was like, it was? I didn't see it.
Right.
And I literally didn't.
Yeah, everyone saw it. Everybody saw it. But, you know, everybody,
you
but nobody, nobody made you wrong for that, though. You know, sometimes people make somebody wrong. You know why no one made you wrong? I just put it together. You were in this relationship for a few years. And, sometimes people, when they see a friend or a loved one suffering in a relationship after a while, after the handwriting's been on the wall, their friends and relatives start to make them wrong. Like, get out already. Nobody made you wrong, Jivananda, because you didn't complain. You just didn't get it, that it was so off.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
You just didn't get it. So nobody made you wrong. They just figured, okay, you were going along for the ride. Maybe you were a sucker or maybe whatever. You know, there were obviously some payoffs for you, but the payoffs... But you gave a lot more than you got.
Yeah, and I would even say, let's take a simple example, not that one. I was introduced to a lovely woman. We spent a few months getting to know each other. We went out to dinner. So our first time out to dinner, and we had been in various party and social situations. We chatted with each other. We went out to dinner. The dinner went so wonderfully well that I was practically, you know, ready to propose marriage, you know, by 2 o'clock in the morning. And,
no.
and, you know, I was just like, man, I had a whole future written for this relationship the first time we'd ever just been out, you know, one-to-one.
Right.
And it really threw her. It threw her. to the extent, I mean, because she had no way of processing that. She was like, you know, I just, in her world, I just showed up kind of like a fruitcake. And it just pushed her away. Now, later we worked that out and we became friends, but it certainly ended any chances of, you know, any kind of romantic relationship. Because
yes,
she was worried.
Timing really is an important part of human interaction. And I could see how this neurological synapse that's different could throw your timing so off that something that could actually have become very serious just based on timing, like off timing, reading the signals differently, could cost the whole thing in a romance and change it into something else. That's just so, listen, there's a famous, there's a television character or two with Asperger's on one of my old favorite shows. Used to be on Boston Legal. There was a character, one of the attorneys named Jerry. And he used to, they built him to be somebody brilliant in the show. And somebody who just, he would yell things out in the court.
Yeah.
And he would also hold his hands funny when he walked and his tie would be funny, but he wasn't a bad looking guy. And he actually had a relationship on the show. He had a relationship with someone on the show who, I don't know what her role was, but she had intimacy with her clock. And they understood that between each other. And they didn't, you know, they didn't make it too weird, you know, like they actually gave him importance on the show. So, and I think that show gave importance to a lot of things that were probably issues that people needed to look at. And that was one of it. It came to me just as soon as I heard about Asperger's. All of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, there's a person on the show with that. And there's an actor acting that out. And I thought it was so great to bring to people's awareness. Yeah, it's amazing. I think, people around me, by the way, just in terms of my own life, many, many people around me, people specifically who've come to me from Tantra, like they've been my students at one time and then they end up going through my leadership course called Leadership Integrity and Service to be on my staff, have congregated about me. People who really assist my courses, who think really outside the box. Brilliant, brilliant people who don't communicate that well. They either communicate too fast and are too smart for other people and are very inappropriate in the things that they yell out or the things they raise their hand with in the class, or people who just really provide an amazing service for my participants in my classes. When I look at them, when I look back, I've got to say there have been 5 to 7 people around me for a long time that are on this spectrum that you're talking about. And how I know it is because this woman I told you, I just mentioned to you before, my friend who at the time was living in Philadelphia, now she's in upstate New York, Tina Catarino, she's so astute about this. She came to my bliss course and my ecstasy course and she looked around her and she said, oh my goodness, everybody assisting this course has Asperger's. And they do so well with Laurie. She has so much room for that. I always figured they were just a little bit different. And they just did such great work. They made such huge contributions. Their service was so clear. Their brilliance is so clear to me.
Yeah, but your perspective in life is not the average. And a lot of the problems that people with Asperger's have in everyday life and going to work and having a relationship and doing what everybody has to do in life is that most people are not that understanding and most people are put off by anything that's, you know, off center enough that they don't understand it. They don't understand why you're saying something inappropriate to them. They don't understand why, when it's clear the conversation is going in one direction, that you ask a question that doesn't seem to have any relationship to anything, you know, or whatnot. And so I really have to say I struggled through most of my adult life in trying to fit in to, the normal American business culture, and
yes.
always being kind of the odd man out, kind of the odd duck, even despite the fact that I don't have any, I don't have fangs, I don't have, any obvious, but.
You're a wonderful man, get out of here. You're attractive, you're vibrant, you're vital, and you're a wonderful man. You don't have fangs. And yeah, there are times you seemed a little competitive. There are times that you do seem a little competitive, like you know more than whoever it is speaking. Sometimes that was me. And, and then there's this other thing, this skip a beat, which I had no idea about. It's amazing. It's amazing to discover, and it makes sense. I'm so glad you found out. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe, and my guest today, Shivananda Deva, which, by the way, Shivananda means for the bliss of Shiva, the Lord Shiva, or the male aspect of the male aspect in the world. We're talking about Asperger's and how it is a neurological situation that is hereditary. It's genetic, and how one discovers that one has Asperger's. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about how Tantra can have a tremendous effect in play in terms of helping one with this discovery of Asperger's. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you're listening to Tantra Cafe, congratulations. You've reached a higher plane of consciousness in caring for yourself and caring for your significant other. Tantra can help with physical and emotional bonding to nurture your relationship. And there's another level of care that you should be considering as well. It's your family's financial well-being. I rely on DeLone Financial Services to guide me on this journey. And Jeff DeLone is my friend. He and I have worked together for years. He even helps care for my father's finances. For information about your family's financial planning, contact Jeff DeLone at 610-356-1253. That's 610-356-1253. Or you can email Jeff at jdelone@delonefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation. Member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Are you stuck in an area of your life? For example, having challenging or negative relationships? Are you feeling unfulfilled? Perhaps you're experiencing a lack of energy or possibly even tension in your body. I feel you need to call Kate Holt. Kate Holt is a core energetics practitioner. Whether you work with Kate in a group or in a private session, you'll feel like you're coming home to yourself. You'll become more comfortable in your own skin. You'll discover your unique gifts and be supported to bring them fully into the world. You'll be empowered to create the life you want and have more pleasure and fulfillment. Don't waste another minute feeling stuck. Really. Call 856-261-4900 for a consultation or visit www.kateholt.info. That's kateholt.info. We're back with Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handler as your host, and I'm so glad you tuned in. If you missed any part of the show thus far, I'm here with my guest today, Shivananda Deva, and he is talking about, and that's his tantric name, obviously. He's talking about what it is to discover later in life that you have something that you never knew, that you felt psychologically maybe weirder, more eccentric than other people. You felt like kids didn't want to play with you. You felt like things were coming up in your mind that didn't seem exactly socially appropriate, and you found that your interpretations might be off, but after the fact, and then come to find out that you're diagnosed with, your mother's diagnosed with it, your grandson is diagnosed with it, and finally you're diagnosed with something called Asperger's syndrome, and you find yourself on a spectrum with autism, and how it makes sense, how all the pieces finally fit back in when one looks back on one's life, but then what do you do with it, and how do you cope with it? So, Shivananda, tell us, I know that you've done transformational work, and I know that this helped you, and perhaps this would help other people who may be hearing this program. So how did you start with transformation? Where did you go, and what drove you to it, and what did you get?
Well, I would say my whole life, I've tried to understand what it was that was the secret that everybody else got told, you know, at the party that I wasn't invited to. So I always felt like if I could find out that secret, then I could be an insider too. So, you know, from a young age, I was interested in all kinds of self-help books and all of that stuff. But, you know, as anybody who's gotten into the self-help genre at all, you know, I think that you would have to agree. After a while, you start realizing that it's not really getting at the root. It's sort of like, I heard somebody say once, it's like painting over rust. It just doesn't get to what the issue is. It kind of, you know, kind of spiffies everything up, and you got a smile on your face for a while, but it just doesn't get at what's the core.
Right. It doesn't. Right. It doesn't fix things. It doesn't make you more comfortable. It's like another facade.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't reach deep enough.
And then, in the late 80s, I had the very, very good fortune of having a member of my family do the forum. And I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and he did the forum. He had my mother do the forum. And then I was the last person in the family that he talked to about it. But
I just want to let people know that you're talking about the Landmark Forum that is offered by Landmark Education, and you and I have that in common. And we both have being in staff at Landmark on common as well. So in the late 80s, right, you did the forum.
Yeah, and that was a very important step for me, because it really got me present. That was where I really was able to take a step out of living in my own head all the time and just be present to life. So that was an important step.
And to other people, life and to other people. I mean, the Landmark Forum lets you know how out of touch you are with other people and the story that you live in. And I don't mean you, we,
yeah,
the story that we made up, and we act out of it, and it becomes our story, and we make it the truth, and we relate to the whole world out of
right.
the story instead of being present to what's actually happening. So that's great. It's really great that you did. So it was the late 80s when you did it in L.A.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know, I worked with it in L.A. Then mid-90s, I moved to Seattle, and I continued with that work in Seattle. And, you know, and it was great. And I'm still great friends with people from all the way back then, and I'm still, you know, participate to a certain degree with that work even today. And I'm just, matter of fact, just enrolled a good friend in the forum, because I could really see it was something that would contribute to his life.
And I want to also say that so people know, the Landmark Forum is a training program. It's an experiential training program that's 3 days and an evening, and it really makes a difference in a person's life. It's a short program that can switch people's whole world around, their whole way of seeing things around. My whole family's done it. Most of my friends have done it. Most of the people who ever staff my programs that I offer have done it. Most of the people who go through my Tantra programs have done it. including you.
Yes, yes.
And that's initially exactly. How we connected, you and I. That's how we connected.
Yes, 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 okay. Even before Tantra.
Yes.
So here's the thing about that. I have an enormous appreciation for that work. I'm an enormous fan of that work. And I would say that there were some areas of my life that it didn't touch or didn't, probably more accurate to say, didn't touch to the degree that I wanted them to. And
yeah,
I would say that, and I would say that that would be specifically around spirituality, mm. around sex, and around love.
Right.
It, you know, that work certainly has a remarkable effect on one's relationships and so on. But it just in terms of my own experience, there was something missing, and I just couldn't get my hands on it. And I happened to see that, you know, the famous tantric author and teacher Margot Anand was teaching a weekend class in Seattle, and I had just broken up a relationship of several years, or rather, she had just broken it up. And
yeah.
I was really in the inquiry of what was missing for me as a man to be able to hold a relationship with a woman that I loved. That was a woman that I loved, and I had every intention of marrying her and being with her. And
it's a good
happen.
Inquiry.
And so,
it's a really good and straight and honest inquiry. What would be up for you that would be able to hold the relationship, and Landmark didn't give you the answer?
Yeah. It didn't give me the answer. It might have given somebody else the answer, but it didn't give me the
right.
answer. And this began to turn up a corner on that. And so I really was able to see that there was something up for me in that. And so shortly after that, I moved to the East Coast.
In terms of your languaging, when you said something was up for you in that, what does that mean? Can you translate that? What was up
well,
for you? What did you see?
Well, one of the things that I saw was that I had this outsider conversation with the women that I was in relationship with. In other words, I could be with a woman who was saying she loved me, and in my heart of hearts, I knew that I just had her fooled, and that if
okay.
she ever figured out who I really was, she'd be out of there in a minute. So what does that point to? That points to self-love. I did not love myself.
And you felt isolated even when you were included.
Yeah, and because I didn't understand it. I didn't know how I was supposed to behave. You know, I was always, always on tiptoes, you know, waiting to make the fatal mistake.
Oh, my goodness.
You know,
but
so
I wanted to let you know something, that even people without Asperger's feel this way too. This just seems like it's more extended or more tenuous, but other people, you know, just a lot of people feel like that. They just don't know if they're in, even when they're in. They can't imagine. They think they're doing it with smoke and mirrors.
Right. And in the case of those with Asperger's, it's more that's heightened, because you fundamentally don't understand social interactions. Some people are notable for being unable to read facial expressions or body language. They just don't get it. I'm more in the middle on that one, but you know, in terms of things that people would say and do and so on, it would be easy for me to misinterpret, you know, what our relationship was. So that first little weekend class that I did kind of crack the shell a little bit, and
yeah,
then you know, when I got to the East Coast, I took a number of courses. I really looked around to see who was available and took a number of courses in a fairly short period of time, and each one of them kind of brought me, opened the shell a little more, let me out of the shell a little more, and then I met Lori Handler's of Butterfly Contra.
And I took a hammer to your shell.
You took a hammer to my shell. You sure did. You know, we were both enjoying the thought of that very first course that I did with you, and you know, just God, how far I've come since then. But so
much.
Here's
I'm
what
so
I would say. Here's
so
the
proud
way
of you. I'm
I
so
would.
Excited. Yeah,
here's what I would say about what happened in that journey and in the work that we did together was that I was finally able to connect with people in a very deep, profound way, and that my heart really opened. That I was finally able to express my love for people, my deep, deep love for people and my inner joy in a way that people could get it. So now we're connected very deeply because they're getting who I really am. I'm not that outer shell, that protective shell that would interact in certain ways because of the some of my experiences in life, but they would really get down to the essential me and really be able to see how much I love them, how much I appreciate them. And I would be able to open my mouth and express that freely and openly in a way that would move people. Well, that's had a profound effect on my life.
It really is a huge difference. It's a huge difference. I mean, even talking to you now as opposed to then, whenever then was, maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and then some, even speaking with you now, it's different. It's a very different, it's a different experience for me. And I imagine it's different for people who have known you. We're going to have to come back to this part in a moment. We're going to stop here for a second so I can let people know who they're listening to and what this is about, just in case they've just tuned in. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And on my show today, the guest is Shivananda Deva, somebody who is a person who makes his living by ITT, which is information technology, as project manager. But he's also an acting teacher, and he's been a leader in the transformational world in the past. And all of this he got attracted to because of something called Asperger's or the Asperger syndrome. And that's what we're talking about today, how you may be on the Asperger syndrome, on the Asperger spectrum, and not know but feel always like you miss a beat. That's one of the most characteristic parts of it. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about how Tantra has made a difference in Shivananda's life and also some things he realized just recently, just about how things were in the past and how things are now, how different he is and how much of a difference all of his study has made in his life. So please stay tuned. Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try the CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now and walk free from emotional baggage. Okay, well, we're winding down to the stretch in Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handlers. I hope you're enjoying so far hearing about Asperger's. Maybe there are people in your life who need to be tested for Asperger's. There are certainly people in my life who I know demonstrate the things that we're speaking about here. And I'm so glad. I'm so thankful to have this show to talk about this with somebody who's willing to talk about it, who's not in the closet about it. So coming back, your heart cracked open in Tantra, and you were able, you know, and then you said, I cracked you open. Your heart cracked open and
you smashed me open.
And you were able, look, I remember because when I came to New York, there was a lot of people in a different kind of Tantra who wanted to just make nicey-nicey and they wanted to feel each other viscerally. They wanted to touch each other and just do loving touches. And I said, no, there's much deeper layers we have to go to. And people made fun of me. They said I was the drill sergeant of New York, of Tantra in New York. You were probably one of them. So
I remember.
So I don't care. I mean, I like having that reputation because I know that I made people go deeper. Because if they didn't go deeper, they were going to be trying to have pleasure on top of a toxic waste dump called stored toxic cellular memories. And
exactly.
People are trying to make love and have a great time, and they're not having such a great time. They're in pretense about it because there is so much going on in that sex area that has to do with memories of other things. Memories of being rejected. Memories of someone saying no. And you must have had a lot of them based on Asperger's that you didn't even know about. You weren't getting to square one with people. So it's amazing.
Exactly.
Your heart cracked open and you were able to express your deepest love and feeling for other people and be gotten, like be accepted, be received. This is amazing. Now, talk a little bit about, you told me this amazing experience, which I want you to share, about being in the 60s when people were, you know, into peace and love. And then you recently had an experience where it was totally different for you, not necessarily based on the times, but based on you. So what was that like?
Yeah.
I love this.
Well, I've been a photographer for my whole adult life. Ever since my daughter was born, I wanted to take pictures of my little 4-pound little preemie daughter. And I've been a professional photographer most of that time. In the 60s and 70s, I was thoroughly immersed in the hippie culture, and I mean, I always worked. That was one difference that I had.
So by day you were a straight corporate worker, and by weekends you were a hippie.
Yeah. So, but I had long hair and a beard and wore beads and bell bottoms, the whole thing. And I would go
Me
to the
too.
In the park. Yeah. Peace, man. But, you know, I would go to the park, for the beans, and I would walk around taking pictures because it's something I've always enjoyed doing. And I would get, in the middle of all the peace and love and the herbal mist in the air, you know, I would get people who suspected what I was up to and were hostile towards me. And I got confronted a couple of times of people who accused me of being a narc.
That was the worst thing then, you know, that you could say to anybody.
Yeah, the worst. You know, talk about an attack on somebody's self-identity. I even had to beat a hasty retreat on a couple of occasions just to avoid, you know, a really unpleasant situation. Now, I live in Austin, Texas now, and I'm one of the traditions in Austin is what's called Eeyore's birthday. which is...
Is it, how do you, could you spell that? Spell your.
Yeah, Eeyore, like Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore. E-E-Y-O-R-E.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not a Winnie the Pooh person. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, this has been, who knows? I don't even know where this started, but this year was the 47th annual holding of this party, which was a bee-in in the park. And, you know, an occasion to go be with thousands of people who are wearing tie-dyes and face paint and, you know, colorful, clothes and beating on drums and just enjoying.
And some of them not clothed.
Some of them not clothed. Yeah, that's another tradition. And, you know, I would say, I mean, it's a predominantly a fairly young group, but it's a very, what's neat about it is that it's a non-ironic remembrance of the hippie era. And people are really there just really kind of celebrating that whole vibe. And I'm there, you know, just sort of dressed like a civilian, but I did have a drum over my shoulder. I was
and a
wearing
camera.
My, yeah, and a camera. And I'm taking pictures, and I'm taking pictures every place that I go. And as the day wore on, it struck me how different my experience was taking pictures at this bee-in, which was as close a reproduction as people could come up with today to, you know, the one that they started with 47 years ago. And I really got it. At one point, I took a woman's picture, and she was smiling, she was beaming at me, and she came over and kissed me. And she stepped back and she looked me straight in the eye and said, "I love you," and kissed me again, you know, and then just, you know, walked on by. And I thought, well, that was remarkable. And then
yeah.
I got it. I actually got what was going on, because every other person that I'd taken the picture in their own way was expressing the same thing. What was the difference? I was different. I was a completely different human being in that environment. When I was taking pictures, my appreciation for who they were went out before me. They really got my love and appreciation for who they were being. So when I took their picture, it was like me kissing them.
Yeah, you were kissing them through the camera. You were no longer not included. You were no longer on the fringe.
I was no longer
the voyeur. You were no longer the voyeur. You were actually with them.
Yeah. I called it the watcher. In the 60s, I was the watcher. I was on the outside looking in. And in this, but in this occasion, I was on the inside generating the very thing that they were there for, which was, you know, love and appreciation and, you know, just
and to be seen. People want to be seen. They want to be seen as who they are. So it's amazing.
Yeah.
What a description. And it's 40 some odd years later from when you were originally a hippie. I hate being so dated about that, but I guess it's 40 something. It's 40-something years later for me.
Lori,
I was a hippie.
Yeah, Lori, it's okay. Getting older is better than the alternative.
Listen, I'm physically immortal, so I'm not even debating that. I live in a community of people staying around forever. So as I get older, I just get better and better and better. So I love this about this conversation with you. I love what happened for you. I'm so thankful that you came to Tantra. I'm so thankful that you noticed that there was a missing for you in intimacy. Even after you did the great work of Werner Erhard at Landmark Education, you still had more to go, and hopefully you haven't stopped. I mean, there's always more to go. It's just great that Tantra was able to play such a nice part in having you open your heart, like crack your heart open.
And it's It's so great because the things that you teach are things that are really very, very valuable for solo practice, for being able to keep yourself, in tune and in shape. Even when you're cut off, let's say, from a community of like-minded people, you, for whatever reason, you're traveling or you're in a strange part of the world or something.
That would be me, kind of
where I've been. I haven't been really part of a community for several years, but I've been able to carry on the things that support me. You know, the breathing and the energy work that one can continue to do solo. And you said it yourself. I'm not the same person today that I was the last time we were together.
Right. Beautiful. Well, we're winding down. I just want to thank you again. I want to thank you for being on the show and being so overt about talking about Asperger's. I've waited for this moment, so I just want to let you know. It just happens to be you, and I'm grateful that you could shed light on it for people and let people know that there are things they can do that are not medication. There are things that they can do that will open them up to be present and then have their heart be open and find ways to express that what's in their deepest heart. So, Shivananda Deva, thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you for coming into my life when you did and smacking that hammer on the eggshell.
If you want to find out more about Shivananda Deva, I would let you know that you should start to go to meetup groups in the Austin, Texas area. He's going to be doing some tantra groups there, offering series of groups that he knows about. He's going to be doing some acting teaching there. And also he's going to have something to do also with Tantric Tourists, which is my movie. So soon you can Google again Tantric Tourists and find out where he's going to be having screenings, certainly in the area of Texas.
And I'm on Facebook, so.
Right, Facebook. You can find him, Shivananda Deva, on Facebook. So please find him there. I want to let you know that you can follow me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. You can write to me, Laurie@TantraCafe.com. Of course, you can get my book and my CD and my DVD and all those things. And I'd love to have you at the next screening, wherever it will be, of Tantric Tourists. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. And I can't wait to be back with you. Namaste from Tantra Cafe.